Blog Talk Radio.
To another edition of Jawanza for Life. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It's a beautiful day. I hope it's beautiful wherever you are. And thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to tune in. To those who are listening online, just to let you know, I've got a fabulous show lined up for you. And those who are listening via phone, just want you to know, if you're online, though, and you'd like to speak with my guests as we get into the show, all you have to do is dial 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. Well, and then all you have to do is press 1, and then I'll bring you on board to ask your question or make your comment. Well, for those of you who may know that this is National Lupus Awareness Month, and for those who did not know, this is National Lupus Awareness Month, and so today's show is going to be dedicated to that theme, and I have a perfect guest just to talk about this, to shed some light on what lupus is and how there are alternative ways of treating it as opposed to going the natural or, the allopathic way. So let me tell you who my special guest is today. My special guest is a holistic health and wellness expert and advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan, who holds a PhD, this is Dr. Ruby Lathan, who holds a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science, began teaching others about the benefit and power of plant-based nutrition. She motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace and joy of life's journey. Dr. Lathan served as nutrition policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Lathan is a dynamic speaker and educator, hosting a number of seminars, workshops, and healthful vegan cooking demonstrations. And Dr. Lathan is a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle Magazine and host of an alternative health webcast called Health 365 and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chest. So you can tell my guest has she's qualified to speak about what we're going to be talking about today. So let me move out of the way. It is without further ado, I introduce to you the incredible Dr. Ruby Lathan. Thank you so much for being my guest again, Dr. Lathan.
Oh, thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
It's great to have you back. For everybody, I just want you to know also that Dr. Lathan comes on once a month to Jawanza for Life. And since this show, I just want you to know that since this show is an hour, if you happen to know of somebody who is suffering from lupus, you have time to call that person and ask them to tune in, share the information, okay? They can tune in, they can call in, they can listen online. So now let's get into this awesome interview that awaits us all. Dr. Lathan has a powerful testimony, okay, before we get into why we're talking about lupus, of course. She knows the power of a plant-based diet. She knows the benefit of eating a plant-based diet. And just for the listeners, Dr. Lathan, if you don't mind, I know we give your testimony every show, but there might be people who are listening this time for the first time. And your testimony is just so powerful and so moving. If you don't mind, could you share with our listeners what brought you to this work, why you became a holistic health practitioner?
Absolutely. What really got me into it, because I was probably like most people, don't really think all that much about health issues until, you know, something goes wrong. And it was in 2007, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, which was really shocking news to me. And I decided to try an all-natural approach to dealing with that. And so I really didn't know much about that at all, so I just started researching all about cancer and what causes and how to heal it, and really focusing on the healing. And through that process, I found in the research that plant-based diets are very effective in healing a number of things, including cancer. So I really switched my diet to a whole food diet, plant-based, and basically that really means that, you know, we're eating foods as close to their natural form as possible. So not just eating plant-based, but eating real food, whole food, plant-based diet. And so that is really what I focused on. And through that process, in a year's time, I was able to reverse my cancer. And it was completely gone with nothing more than the food I was eating and the supplements that I was taking. I didn't do anything traditional, no chemo or radiation or surgery. And through that experience, I learned a lot because I continued to study as I was refining my nutrition plan and supplements and throughout the process. So I was able to heal myself naturally. And so that is what really led me on this journey to help other people do the same things, not only with cancer, but other debilitating diseases as well.
Wow. When you saw, as you were doing research, and saw that other people had been using plant-based diets to heal themselves, that had to give you an incredible boost of hope, because I'm sure when you initially got the news that, you know, the diagnosis was thyroid cancer, that's not good news. I mean, that can bring your spirits down. So
yeah,
when you do,
absolutely, that wasn't good news. That was it was shocking, really, news, because it was just so unexpected. I mean, I had the test done, but I was really doing it as a formality in my head. I was like, sure, you know, they suggest I get tested for this, but I'm pretty sure it's going to come back negative. So I had completely forgotten about it. So when I got the news, I was completely floored and shocked and afraid initially at the whole prospect of it. But then, you know, I just kind of gathered my resolve and said, you know, let's figure this out, and just decided, you know, I just had a feeling I was going to be okay. Whichever way we went with this, you know, I just had that feeling. So it's definitely a scary prognosis. You know, in the realm of cancer, thyroid cancer tends to be a very slow-growing cancer. So unlike other cancers that metastasize very quickly, thyroid cancer is a little slow-growing, so you have a little more time. So partly because of that, I took a deep breath and said, we're going to take the time to figure out what to do, starting from scratch, and just decided it was going to be okay, you know, trust in God, and let's move forward with this. So, yeah, it was definitely a scary proposition initially, just whenever you hear cancer, you know, something life-threatening is definitely scary. And even though it's slow-growing, it can spread and it can grow. So while you're taking a natural approach, you know, many people, you know, warned me against it, you know, don't play with it, you know, just get it cut out and call it a day. This is where you really have to trust your gut instinct on things like this, and everyone is different. And my instinct was telling me not to just cut it out, because that just didn't make sense to me. Because I said, you know, number one, it's a major organ that controls a lot of things in my body, so I kind of need my thyroid. Number two, I felt like you don't just cut something out and it goes away. We have to get to the root cause of things. You know, why did it start? You know, what caused it? How do we get rid of it? So it's not something we can just, you know, just say cut it out and it's all going to be okay, because we see so many people who have recurrences. So for me, it was really important to figure out a potential cause so that I could stop doing whatever that was I was doing if it was contributing, and also, you know, a cure. So it was scary, but I put the fear aside and just decided to go on faith and move forward, because, you know, fear doesn't solve anything. I say fear is there for a reason. It's a warning. It kind of jolts us, but it's not to control us. So,
right.
So yeah, I put it in its place and decided to move forward.
You know that. So you're definitely a, you know firsthand the power of plant-based diet. You know what a plant-based diet can do. Now, I mean, the information that you garnered from reading books, you applied. Or reading literature, publications, you applied it. And so you're here to tell other people that regardless of what it is, regardless of what it is that they're going through, any type of cancer or arthritis or tuberculosis or diabetes or what we're talking about tonight, lupus even, it can be reversed through changing your diet.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Most of the diseases that we're dealing with, you know, upwards of 90%, or, you know, they say about 10% of disease is genetic, meaning, you know, it's passed down through our genes and there's really nothing that we did to help bring it on or anything like that, meaning that the rest of the 90% is highly affected by our lifestyle, either brought on or worsened or improved or triggered by our lifestyle. And that includes what we eat, how we live, our stress levels, our emotional ties, our thinking, our positivity or negativity, our stress relief activities, sports, exercise, rest. All of those things are the lifestyle that either trigger disease or keep it at bay. And so we have so much control over what happens to us in at least almost 90% of the cases.
Wow. Well, everybody, that should whet your appetite, because we're getting ready to get into a powerful show. And tonight's discussion is going to be about lupus. Again, it is National Lupus Awareness Month. And so with that theme in mind, that will be the discussion this evening. Dr. Lathan, for those who have lupus, I'm sure they know what lupus is. I'm sure they've, you know, gotten a diagnosis and, you know, hopefully have done some research. But for those who don't know what lupus is, because we hear these diseases, we hear these different names of these different diseases. We know people, we've got loved ones and friends who have either passed on from a particular disease, and it's, you know, we know people that have died of cancer. We know people that have got lupus. We know people that have got diabetes. We know people that have got arthritis, but we don't necessarily know what these diseases are. So for those of us who don't know, what is lupus?
Sure. Lupus is classified as an autoimmune disease, meaning our immune system gets confused on the good antibodies and the bad antibodies. So it doesn't recognize what's part of our system and what's an invader. So it treats parts of our system that should be there as invaders and begins attacking it. And then that causes a lot of issues, whereas that is supposed to be reserved for things that shouldn't be there, where it attacks it in order to kill it and take it out of our body. It basically, our body's kind of turning on us because it's getting the wrong signals and information about what should and shouldn't be there. And so
because of that, it causes various cyst problems, tissue damage, organ damage, and various symptoms that come along with that. So one of the main symptoms being inflammation in the body where this autoimmunity is happening. So there's a lot of joint pain, a lot of inflammation that causes other issues in the body. So there's a lot of fatigue and pain associated with this autoimmune disease.
You know what's so interesting, even as I'm listening to you give the description of lupus, is that I would imagine, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, again, this would not fall under, or would it fall under one of the diseases that would be considered genetic? Would this be one of those or no?
Well, they haven't been able to determine that. Other than it does appear to be common in families. So they suspect that there could be a genetic element, but they have not been able to determine if it's actually genetic, like a gene that's causing it. So they haven't been able to pinpoint any gene or anything like that. So, you know, it may or may not be. You know, there may be some influence there, but it's not a definite. And to me, what that to me that indicates, just like a lot of diseases that tend to run in families, diseases can have markers. So, for example, you know, you'll have family that seems to have lots of breast cancer or things like that. It is some genes are passed down, and so you have lots of occurrences of these diseases, but the difference is that with basically genetic markers, they're basically saying if you get ill, if you get sick, this is how you're going to get sick, as opposed to you're going to get sick. So if lupus runs in your family, then if you don't do things that are very healthy for your lifestyle to help keep that type of thing at bay, you might have a greater likelihood of developing lupus, but it doesn't mean that it's a definite that this is going to happen. So we do have things that influence us, that let us know, you know, if you continue with a certain lifestyle and you develop an illness, this is probably the most likely illness that you will develop. But it's by no means a sentence to get that disease.
Okay, and the reason I ask that question is because you have a lot of people that, let's say you take a group of people that live in a particular area, let's say a low to middle class area, or not even low class, but just live in a particular area of the city where there's certain restaurants or fast food joints. Okay, you might have, you know, McDonald's, Wendy's, all these different, you know, in a small area of town. You might have the normal supermarkets that everybody shops at or whatever, but this one family, you know, or this several people in this particular community might contact lupus, and the others who are eating the same food, okay, might not contact lupus. You know, it might be something else. Their issue might be diabetes, or they might get arthritis, but they're eating the same foods. So I guess my question is, because it would seem logical that, okay, if we all start out, all things being equal, we all start out together, and all things being equal, we have a relative degree of health, we're eating the same food, we're drinking the same water, we're breathing the same air, you would think that we would all get the same thing. You follow my train of thought?
Right, absolutely, absolutely. But there are a lot of different factors that affect health. Not just what we're eating. You know, it really depends on the level of activity, the physical makeup of the person, the age of the person, the attitude of the person, the belief system, all of those things, the stress level, the rest levels, all of those things play into it. So we can, you know, look at our neighbor and say, well, they did it and they're okay, so I should be able to do it and I should be okay. That's just not the case, you know, because While it might appear all things are equal, we live in the same neighborhood, we eat the same food, we still might have drastically different habits and lifestyle or just way of thinking that actually does affect our overall health as well. So it's hard to say. You know, I mean, obviously with foods play a huge role, but there's more to the story.
Okay. So when it comes to lupus and the inflammation, you mentioned that lupus causes inflammation, it affects the joints. What role would food even play in that, or contributing factors, for example, that would cause the inflammation? So I guess mm-hmm. I'll ask it this way. Does the diet play the role of causing the inflammation, and the inflammation leads to the lupus, or is it the lupus that causes the inflammation?
So it's the lupus causes the inflammation, but the diet can exacerbate the inflammation or decrease it, keep it under control.
Okay.
So as far as how we get lupus, you know, it's not 100% clear. But, you know, some of the factors, you know, include stress, high levels, you know, chronic stress, and diet do play a role. So it's, you know, lupus is one of those things that we haven't pinned down yet. Like, you know, like diabetes, it's very clear that there's a direct correlation for type 2 diabetes, that is, a direct correlation between diet and lifestyle and diabetes. Whereas lupus, there is not quite as a direct link, but it's highly susceptible, and it responds to diet and lifestyle changes. So because it responds very, you know, noticeably to lifestyle changes, then you would also think that, you know, having a certain lifestyle could help you avoid it, which I think is the case. So we want to look at foods that reduce inflammation and lifestyles that reduces inflammation in the body. So, for example, things that are going to cause inflammation are things you want to avoid. So we're talking about dairy products, highly inflammatory for pretty much everybody. So that's something that would, you know, exacerbate the inflammation if you're diagnosed with lupus, and make it much worse and make your symptoms much worse and the disease a lot more debilitating, and kind of take it to that next level. So you want to avoid all dairy products. Meat is the same thing. It's highly inflammatory as well. Lots of junk food, processed food, highly inflammatory. Looking at lots of bread, wheat, processed bread products and sweets and crackers and things like that, also a high inflammatory, as well as sugar, white processed sugar. So when we start going down this list of things that cause inflammation, it starts to sound a lot similar to diets that reverse diabetes and heart disease and cancer, all those things that we need to avoid anyway for a healthy lifestyle are the things that trigger further and worsen symptoms of lupus. So when we're looking at trying to decrease the inflammation, we want to look at, you know, things, foods that do that. So we're looking at things like garlic and onions and leafy greens. All those are, you know, ginger. Those type of things reduce inflammation in the system. So you want to eat those regularly, you know, anything from dandelion greens to collard greens to kale to dark lettuce to cabbage. All of those things are going to reduce inflammation. And then specifically, you're going to want to focus on supplements and foods that also reduce inflammation. So your omega-3 fatty acids are directly correlate with reducing inflammation in the system. So you don't want to be continuously deficient of the omega fatty acids. So those are going to be things like chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, walnut, and then also a supplement would be very important. A DHA, which is the already converted form of the omega fatty acid, is something that you want to take as well. And instead of taking it in fish oil, you want to take an algae-based DHA supplement, which is direct linked to the DHA. You get the DHA from the algae. And so you'll see a lot on lupus websites, they, you know, to eat fish regularly or take fish oil, when really you should just take eat seaweed regularly and take algae, an algae-based DHA instead, as opposed to getting it second or third hand through fish. That can cause inflammation in the system. So whereas eating the seaweed and taking the DHA supplement directly will help keep the inflammation down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we can't use certain words. I'm told that when it comes to holistic health practitioners, for example, you can't use the word heal or cure or, you know, because the authorities are, you know, crack down and whatever. But we can say get rid of. Okay, so
sure.
Would you suggest that somebody, that lupus is a disease that you can get rid of without it coming back? We're not talking about remission, but if somebody has lupus, they can actually get rid of it forever if they continue to, you know, give the body what it needs. They can go to the doctor today, get diagnosed, yes, you have it, and within a matter of time, if they follow a particular dietary regimen and give the body what it needs, that it can get, they can get rid of it forever.
I believe so. I mean, because, you know, most of the lupus cases show up later in life. They're not something people are born with. And so I have a very good friend who taught me the phrase, if you can get it, you can unget it. And
okay.
So I believe
like
in, so, you know, if I wasn't born with this, why would it came about, I should be able to undo it. And so I believe lupus is the same thing. I mean, there are many autoimmune diseases that are reversed. And so I don't see why lupus, it's in that same family, would be any different from any of the other autoimmune diseases that people reverse when they change their lifestyle, change their diet, change their way of living. I absolutely think you can reverse
that.
You mentioned
that the greens, the collards, and, you know, the different green leafy vegetables. Would you suggest that those be eaten raw? Because, again, you know, a lot of people grew up on soul food, and they're like, hey, yeah, I can get with the collard greens. But supposedly, if you cook certain foods, that a lot of the nutrients and minerals are lost in once you put the fire to it. So would you suggest that if they're going to do the collard greens and the spinach and the different things, to actually not cook it but eat it raw? And you can tell them, again, I know you do we're going to talk about that too. You do a food preparation class, and you can tell them how they can make food delicious. It doesn't have to be, you know, just carrots and celery. But would you suggest that they eat that food raw or juicy?
I would. I would say the majority. It doesn't even have to be 100%. It could be, you know, 80-85% raw foods. And I know that for a lot of people that sounds, you know, extreme, but once you actually educate yourself about raw foods and things like that, it's not as extreme as it sounds. So you can eat a lot more than just salads. So raw foods are going to give you a lot more bang for your buck in terms of helping reduce inflammation in the system. You have more enzymes, you have more nutrients that are available. So absolutely. I mean, I initially would just say eat lots of greens and at least half raw, but then you want to move up to that. If you're really trying to get this thing under control and get rid of it, you want to increase that to about 80% raw. And so, yes, there are lots of, you know, ways to get raw greens in. I do a creamy collards recipe that you really wouldn't think. You know, the greens are raw, you don't really think about it, but it's very good. So there are a lot of ways to do it. You shred things, you know, even Brussels sprouts can be eaten raw in like a coleslaw when they're shredded.
things like that. So there's a lot of ways to do it. Also, juicing is very effective when you're trying to get this under control, so that you're getting in raw nutrients there. So that's another way. And then when you are cooking, the 20% of the time that you are eating cooked foods, being it things like beans and things like that, that many cannot be eaten raw, you know, you cook them for as little as possible, as well as the greens. You saute, you know, no more than 10 minutes until they're bright green, and then you eat them. So so there's ways to work with it, but absolutely the more raw, the better. As well as, obviously, we want to eat our fruits raw as well, and they help reduce inflammation. Lots of the berries and most fruits are going to be extremely beneficial as well.
When it comes to lupus, you know, again, when we look at the diseases that we're familiar with, you know, the cancers and different things, like, you know, for example, I've never heard of anybody dying from arthritis. You know, you know, it's a joint thing. You know, you live with it. It can be debilitating, but I don't know of, and I'm not saying that it hasn't happened, but I've never even heard of anybody dying from arthritis. Is lupus? I know you mentioned that it attacks the joints. Is that a disease, though, in its worst state, that it can kill you, or is the most it can be is debilitating? I mean, just cause you just a lot of anguish and pain and suffering?
It can. If the symptoms go unchecked, yes, it can lead to death. It causes other complications in your system that basically end up shortening your life. So it's not as direct as like cancer. But it does tend to shorten the life, and there are a lot of complications that arise from it, which cause death. So it is a serious disease, not to just be ignored, because when you start damaging certain tissues or organs, you know, including the heart, then you could see how death could occur. You know, when you have kidney damage and other things like that, it can lead to that. So yes, it's a serious thing. It's not something to be ignored and think you can just live with it forever. It's really something you want to control. Now, there are a lot of people who have it under control and still have it and are doing very well. So it's not, you know, necessarily a death sentence at all, but it is something that's serious enough that, left unchecked, it can absolutely bring it on prematurely.
Have you found that in, you know, just the, I guess, from your research, from, you know, people you may know, that people who have lupus, that it has gone to something else? And the reason I'm asking that is, or they've actually developed something else after developing lupus, because I'm sure that people who are not on a holistic path, eating holistically, are not vegetarian or vegan, and have decided, like you did when it came to the thyroid cancer, that you were not going to take the medication that was being prescribed or suggested. Well, if you're not going to take the medication, or if you have an alternative and you're saying, okay, well, I'm going to go the vegan route, well, that is a way to say, this is how I'm going to address it. Well, if you're not going that route, then chances are you are taking the medication that is being prescribed by the physicians. Now, we know that medication in allopathic medicine is highly, highly toxic and has side effects that lead to other things. Have you found that people that you may have come in contact with or been aware of that contact lupus because of, and of course they would not say, and the doctors of course won't say, well, they also developed this as a result of the medication, but have you found that people that develop or contact lupus tend to invariably get other diseases as well?
Yes, that is the case. I mean, it depends on, you know, how severe the symptoms are and the inflammation is, as I mentioned, and what organs get affected. Most commonly,
the organs that get affected are the kidney. And so when people do die, often it's from kidney failure. So so that is a definite complication. And there are other issues that come about. Respiratory infections tend to be higher. And heart disease also, because of the inflammation of the heart and the heart muscles, you have a higher risk of heart disease and heart attacks. So these are complications from lupus, and that's what I was saying, that the lupus itself often isn't the thing that causes the death, it's the effect of the lupus. So people with lupus also tend to have more infections than others, or more, vulnerable to infections, ranging from anything from, urinary tract infections, herpes, and other things. And then the risk of cancer is also increased when you have lupus. So that is why it's such a important thing to get in check, because like so many other diseases, it doesn't come alone. It brings its pals and friends and buddies in a very negative way, much in the same way that diabetes brings along usually kidney failure, amputations, other heart disease and things like that. It does not come alone, and so lupus in itself doesn't cause it, but it brings along things and increases your risk for other things that do cause premature death.
And, you know, it's sad because the treatments that are being suggested to the patients, again, with allopathic medicine being so highly toxic, the side effects are can be oftentimes so devastating.
Yeah, they're unfortunate because a lot of them, they're dealing with things that reduce inflammation or try to keep it under control, which are often steroids. They also use the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, too, but those have, obviously, side effects as well. And so long-term use of steroids is not good, and that does help, bring on other issues as the side effects. So it's also, we are looking at the inflammation. They're just treating the symptom, not really getting to the root cause of the issue, and part of that is because they don't know the root cause. They're really, unfortunately, like a lot of illnesses, allopathic medicine hasn't really figured it out yet in terms of what really causes it. So getting to the root cause is not something they do anyway, but is even further out for them to try to look at to do. So we really want to, I'd say, look at, in my opinion, look at things that trigger it and make it worse, and treat those things as part of, part of the root cause. When we look at things like stress, for example, stress causes other autoimmune diseases, bowel diseases, colitis, and other things like that. So to me, it's not that far-fetched that chronic stress could also trigger lupus. So because it's in the family of autoimmune diseases. So, and then our diet is one thing that also triggers autoimmune diseases as well. And so to me, when you look at it as a family like that, it doesn't take that much to make the leap that, maybe those things are also triggers for lupus. And the reason it's showing up as lupus is, again, because we do have those markers, genetic markers. People tend to get sick in different ways, doing different things. And so, we don't have to treat it as such a mystery, but say, let me change my lifestyle to such a way that I am alleviating chronic stress. I am alleviating not putting anything in my body that causes inflammation. I am leading a mental, emotional, spiritual, healthy lifestyle and eating very well. I think your chances of getting lupus are much lower, and your chances of not being able to manage it are much lower. So, it's not something to be so afraid of, because we don't have all the answers, because we can treat it just like any of the other things that have responded
by disappearing when we change our lifestyle.
Well, what would be the result of somebody who they've contacted lupus and, you know, they're taking the doctor's medications and they appear to be okay or whatever, but, you know, they may smoke, they may drink, what would be the effect of alcohol and tobacco on somebody who, because I don't know who's going to listen to this show, okay? There might be somebody that has it that might actually engage in such practices. So what would be the effect of alcohol or tobacco or, you know, on somebody, on the body, and how that could further complicate matters for somebody with lupus?
Well, anytime you drink and smoke, you're suppressing the immune system. And so the immune system is already compromised when you have lupus because it's attacking itself. So when you add more pressure to that, you are just basically adding fuel to the fire. You're saying, let me help the lupus progress faster. Let me help the lupus destroy organs in my body. Let me help the lupus target organs in my body like my lungs or my liver or my kidney. You know, so basically you're setting yourself up for failure. When you do that, so you're already at a higher risk of cancer when you have lupus and you're not doing anything holistically about it. So then we already know that smoking and drinking also increases the risk of cancer. So you're basically just compounding your risk greatly. So it really is a bad idea. So I get so disheartened when I see us, especially people of color, smoking and drinking heavily, because, you know, the statistics all show that our health outcomes are much worse than everyone else. And I think, you know, a lot of that deals with socioeconomics as well as stress, because there's a lot of studies that show, you know, African Americans have more stress than most people just because of racism that exists. And whether it's direct or indirect, we feel the stress and pressure of that. So our stress is just higher just as a result of that. And then often finances aren't there, so we end up living in places where healthy food is not as accessible. So and then we compound that disadvantage with smoking and drinking, and it's like helping kill yourself. So it'd be very detrimental to do that with any disease, but particularly with things like cancer and lupus. You're stacking the deck completely against yourself. So you want to do the opposite of that and drink lots of water, lots of pure water. Drink, you know, take things like I mentioned, the ginger and garlic, and you also want to take things like turmeric in capsule form and in seasonings, because that boosts the immune system and helps it get it back in check and working properly. You really want to, you know, do a cleanse where you're like, you know, whether it's a juice cleanse or a raw food cleanse to really help your digestive system reduce the inflammation there. And by getting inflammation under control in your digestive tract, inflammation everywhere else tends to subside. So we really have to focus on the diet an anti-inflammatory diet. And that's going to be one that is plant-based. It's going to be one that is not a lot of protein, especially if you're still eating meat. You know, you don't have to go vegan or vegetarian, but you want to eat very small amounts. You want to be on a lower protein diet when you have lupus, and higher on your vegetables and complex carbohydrates like sweet potatoes and things like that. But a lower protein diet is highly recommended for lupus. So a plant-based diet is naturally lower in protein than other diets. So by going to that route, you're doing yourself a favor. And then by cleaning out your diet, meaning no processed, really highly processed foods, got to go. You know, all of the processed oils like sunflower, safflower oil are
canola oil, all those things bring on inflammation, and they're in most of the processed foods. So even so-called health foods often use canola or sunflower, safflower oil, which are high in omega-6 fatty acids, which we get too much of, and when you have that imbalance, it causes inflammation, and we don't get enough of our omega-3s. So you have to get off of the junk food and processed food because you got to get off of the oils, and you have to use the right salt, like sea salt and not processed table salt. So those things are going to be the things that bring about the healing. And so getting off of sugar is highly important because sugar causes inflammation. So you're going to want to use natural sweeteners like fruit, frozen fruit, and things like that, dates instead of sugar, to really heal the body. And so we're talking about a pretty dramatic shift in the way we eat, but it's the way we should be eating. And once you start breaking it down and just finding the recipes that fit what I'm talking about, then it won't be so strange, you know. And so we have to start normalizing a healthy diet and make that the norm so that people aren't so daunted by the idea of eating clean and eating well.
You know, I'm going to tell the listeners that before the show is over, we're going to share with you information. Dr. Ruby does a show called The Veggie Chest, okay, where she actually teaches food preparation and teaches how to make this transition, because if you're hearing this information for the first time and you're like, wow, it sounds like, you know, I need to go this route, but I just don't know where to begin. Well, we're going to give you information on how you can begin the process of changing your diet to a live it, okay, and start the road to recovery. Because, again, I believe, like Dr. Ruby, that if you can get it, you can unget it, you know. But I read a stat today that I thought was very interesting, Dr. Ruby, and that was that women tend to get contact lupus more than men. And I thought that that was interesting, and I was curious as to why that might be. Any thoughts on why that might be the case?
Yeah, I've seen that as well, and haven't found anything definitive, but, you know, I can guess, make an educated guess at what I think might be one of the causes. And getting back to the chronic stress, women tend to carry our stress more so than men. And especially in the African-American community, men tend to be a little more active, you know, especially at younger ages, you know, basketball and things like that and getting out, where women are more watching and spectating and cooking and taking care of family. And so taking on that stress additionally, I think it's a stress-related thing and a stress related to both stress taking it in and ways that we relieve stress. And so because stress is such an important factor here. So, I mean, that would be, you know, just my educated guess about why it could possibly affect women more than men. I mean, there are likely many other causes, but that's my best guess. So, and we just know that, you know, we all deal with stress differently. And because the rates are higher among the so-called minority populations, you know, you have to look at the commonalities between those groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, to me, I would think stress plays a big role. Not that men aren't stressed. I'm just saying that women tend to carry the stress more and have fewer outlets of relieving the stress.
You know, I thought that was interesting. I read a stat today as well that that Native Americans, Blacks, Hispanics, and Asians tend to be more likely to contact lupus than Caucasians, which I thought was interesting because I had also read a study once or a stat once that stated that Asians tended to have the longest lifespan of all of the races. Now, that was a while ago when I read that. I don't know if that's changed, and I attributed that partly, at least, to their diet. I'm sure that, you know, that played a role in it because, you know, I don't know what other factor they were making that, you know, that marker barometer by, but I thought that that was interesting because of, you know, the fact that Asians don't tend to eat the same things that African Americans eat. You know, they don't necessarily eat chitlins and, you know, that sort of thing, soul food. So any thoughts on why
right.
is it, why
Well,
that
you know, I think one of the things about Asians that what they found is that the Asian population that continues to eat their traditional diet tends to have the same outcomes as people who still live there and eat the traditional diet. And then those who adopt and assimilate to the American lifestyle and diet have similar health outcomes as everybody else. So I would guess that, you know, we're talking about the Asian population who has adopted the standard American diet, and that is why, you know, they're also having the same outcomes as everyone else. You know, why it affects that population more than, you know, Caucasians, I really don't know. You know, then again, that's where we get down to genetic markers of how you get sick versus if you get sick. And so, you know, I guess that just plays a role into that. There's no real answer other than, you know, it starts with diet and lifestyle. And so when we look across the board, the health, they've shown this, that the health outcomes are very similar to the poor health outcomes of the standard American when people from other countries adopt our diet. So, and it's not my diet, so I'm not even going to claim it, but the standard American diet. So that's what happens, you know. So that just is a testament to the unfortunate power of a very highly processed diet.
Well, Doctor, if you could, in the remaining moments, if you could talk about, again, you mentioned the immune system, and if you could just talk about the role that that plays in our overall health, because there's going to be a lot of people listening to this show, and there may be somebody who's listening to the show today that does not have lupus, but in the future could contact lupus if their immune system is compromised and if they don't do things that will prevent that type of disease from, you know, coming upon them. So in our overall health, but particularly for somebody that has been diagnosed with lupus, the role that the immune system plays, because, again, as I mentioned, we were talking briefly how a lot of times when people think of the immune system, they just think of the respiratory system. You know, if somebody catches a cold, you know, they might say, well, you know, you just need to boost your immune system, and it's attributed to probably something respiratory related. But as far as lupus is concerned, what is the role that the immune system plays in the overall health of someone that has been diagnosed with lupus and ultimately they're getting rid of it?
Well, it plays the primary role is what the immune system plays. So, and it really requires this resetting the immune system in order for, you know, to push this disease into remission or to get rid of it, because the immune system is getting incorrect information, and that's why it's causing this inflammation and attacking organs and things in the body, because things have gotten crossed. Messages going to the cells are sending the wrong signals. And so in order to get that back in line, we have to essentially reset the immune system, and so that it's getting the right messages again and understanding those messages. And so that really calls for, you know, a cleansing of the body and rebuilding the immune system, basically. And that's where I was talking about things like juicing. And it's not just something you just you know, I'm just going to improve my diet, I'm just going to eat healthier. No, we really need to reset the immune system when it's out of whack like this. So it's something that is of, you know, primary importance, is the immune system that heals the body. So when it's that system that is out of, you know, out of order, basically, or not quite getting everything right, we have to treat the immune system. So we have to do things that build it up and take away things that are causing, you know, primary problems. And so it's not as complicated as it sounds when we say reset the immune system. Generally, you know, any, you know, if it were me and we're dealing with something like lupus, you know, I would probably do anywhere from a 10 to 30 day juice fast to cleanse my body and give, you know, lots of supplements that it needs. Those omega fatty acids we'd be dealing with, we'd be looking at other things that heal the digestive system, and then we would move on to a raw, primarily raw diet to allow the system to heal itself. And then weight loss is very important when we're dealing with lupus. Any disease you're dealing with, when you get to your proper weight, it is much easier to deal with that disease, and sometimes the weight loss in and of itself pushes those diseases into remission or reversal. So, you know, you want to lose the excess weight because toxins are stored in excess weight, and so the less excess fat we have, the less toxins we have. So you want to release the weight. We want to do things like massage therapy. We want to find real ways to alleviate stress, exercise, meditation, yoga, whatever it is, but being very deliberate about that. And then, you know, doing some practice of positive thinking and visualization, and then really just cleaning up what we're eating, you know, and eating those healthy plant-based foods and taking it from there. And if you really do that, and then, you know, focusing on those supplements that heal, from, you know, the omega fatty acids to seaweed and iodine and turmeric and all those type of things, then we can definitely win the battle with lupus.
So when it comes to taking the supplements and the juicing and the herbs that you recommend, should a person who is taking medication prescribed by the doctor continue to take that? Will one interfere with the other?
Generally, no, not the type of supplements I'm dealing with, but you should always check, especially when you get into herbal supplements, sometimes they do have an effect on different things. So you probably want to work with a naturopathic doctor and then let your doctor know what you're doing so that you can be weaned off of these other medications, because you will likely not need the pain medications and the anti-inflammatory medications, or not as much of it as you start to heal. So you do want to consult with two people, your doctor who's prescribing the medication, and then someone else who can, you know, a natural health practitioner who can help guide you with the supplements that you should take to help you along the way. But things like omega fatty acids, those are just, they are not going to interfere, because a lot of those are just food-based supplements. Eating, juicing and eating, you know, plant-based foods, those things are not going to have a negative effect. But when we start more with the supplements, then that's where, and different herbs, that is where you want to check. But most people can start a healthy diet without any issue and just letting, you know, let your doctor know.
So we can warn them now. Dr. Latham, we can warn them when they go to their allopathic doctor and share what they're going to do or what they're planning on doing. They may be met with resistance. You may be met with, you know, the doctor saying, well, you know, I don't know if that works. I don't know of anybody who's ever, you know, cured themselves using a plant-based diet. You might get negative feedback from the person that's actually prescribing you the allopathic medicine, because if they believed in holistic medicine, they would be prescribing that instead of what they're prescribing.
Right.
So there's no
advance,
you know?
I would agree with you, because most of them have no training in holistic modalities, so they can't. So unfortunately, and rather than saying, I don't know anything about that, they say, no, it doesn't work. So, so yes, that is often the case. I mean, most doctors will say, sure, eating healthier will help, stress reduction will help, but they're not going to take it as far as saying it's actually going to have a real impact. So, but yeah, I agree with you. Don't be surprised, and don't let it deter you, and just move forward.
Well, Dr. Latham, let's tell them about your show, the Veggie Chest, and you know what got you started with that? How did you come about doing that? And we're going to give the people ways, because I know somebody's out there listening and says, I need to talk to her. You know, so we'll give them your information. But how did the Veggie Chest come about? Because now you take people through the process of showing them how they can do exactly what you're talking about.
Absolutely. So the show is a plant-based show, mostly raw foods. A lot of the foods that we're talking about here, basically to show people how to do it. You know, I do work with people doing nutrition coaching, and so I got a lot of questions about, well, what is Dulse? What is this? What is that? So I said I would start doing videos to show people, you know, what the recipes are supposed to look like, basically step you through it to help them. And so it really picked up a lot of steam. And it's there. You can go to my website, rubylathan.com, and you'll see it there. Or you can go to YouTube and just type in the Veggie Chest, or just go to veggiechest.com. There's a lot of ways to get there, so there's no excuse. Just the Veggie Chest. If you put that in the internet, you will find my show. The recipes are on the website as well. And so it's really to help people know how to cook and make food taste good so that it's a lifestyle change and not just a temporary change, but something you can do long-term that everyone will like to eat, you know, including your family as well. So, you know, it's all healthy food, things that nourish the body as opposed to cause inflammation in the body.
I really applaud you for that, because there are a lot of people out there that really know that they need to change their diet to a liver. They know that they, you know, need to get off the dairy and so forth. But then it's like, well, what do I eat? Once I know I need to stop eating this, but I have to replace it with something. And, you know, they just don't want to eat salad all day long, you know. So I really applaud you for that show there, because, again, that's going to help a lot of people make that transition. And you'll find that there's food out there that if you did not know that it wasn't meat, you would actually think you were eating meat because of the texture, and it's absolutely delicious.
Absolutely, absolutely. I use a lot of, I use tempeh, which is a fermented soy, which is one of the few good forms of soy, to make anything from sloppy joes to stir fries. So there are options, and every time I make it, people are like, wow. They'll watch me make it and say, are you sure there's no meat in here? And I said, no. And the reason meat has its good flavor oftentimes is because of the seasonings that we put in it. So when I'm using seasonings that are similar but healthy ones, then you get the good flavor out of it.
Lastly, before we go, Doctor, I just got to ask this question, because there are a lot of people out there that are eating meat. And if you could just talk about briefly what the harm that would be for somebody, because you touched on it briefly earlier, for somebody that has suffering from lupus, eating meat is detrimental to their health. And if you could explain why that is.
Sure. One of the main reasons is because it causes inflammation in our system. And particularly the lower the quality of the meat, the worse that is. So most people who are eating meat are not eating the grass-fed, range-free types of meat. They're eating the meat that's served at the fast food restaurants or chain restaurants, anything from Applebee's to Chili's and all that. So they're going there, they're eating that, and they're thinking, oh, I'll have chicken instead of beef. All of those things are highly inflammatory, from the oils they're cooked in to the way the animals were raised and killed to the toxic seasonings and MSG that they're putting on it. Everything about the process causes inflammation. So, and then when you switch to your organic free range, so you get fewer pesticides and a little more nutrients, but the meat in and of itself still causes inflammation in the system. And again, the body for lupus responds better to a low-protein diet. Well, meat is not low-protein, so it's a lot more work for the body to break down. And so since most inflammation starts in the digestive tract, you know, unless you're eating an overabundance of vegetables to balance that out, you're going to cause inflammation, which is going to make the situation worse, which is going to make it very difficult to heal the lupus.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Doctor, I know that somebody out there wants to get in contact with you. Again, can they call you? Is there a phone number that they just say, I got to call her in the morning? I don't have access to the internet, or
sure.
You know,
they can call me at 202-709-7829, or they can email me at info@rubylathan.com. That's info@rubylathan. That's RubyLathon.com. They can email me there or give me a call.
Dr. Lathan, you are an awesome, awesome guest. This information is so very, very powerful, but it's only powerful if you use it. You know, this is more than just, oh, this is a good show, something to listen to, you know, something to pass the time. If you don't use this information, you might as well not have heard the information. So I just want to encourage everybody to get in contact with Dr. Lathan, rubylathan.com. Check out the Veggie Chest on YouTube. You've got to check it out. Okay, there are going to be recipes that you can, take this to a whole nother level. See, taking away all the excuses. If you didn't know, you know, how to do it, she's going to show you how to do it. And again, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. Thank you for listening. And Dr. Lathan, any final words for our listeners before we go?
I would just say have an open mind and know that the body can heal itself when you give it what it needs, and just be willing to do what it takes, and you'll be well on your way and healthier and happier for it.
Thank you so much for your time, Doctor. So if somebody, I just want to put this out there before we go. If somebody went to the doctor and the doctor gave them a bad report or whatever, and they had their blood work done, do you do blood work analysis for somebody who says, look, I want a second opinion?
I don't do that. I would recommend a naturopathic doctor, because coaching is more on the nutritional things once we have an idea of what you're dealing with and how to then address those. So if you really want a second opinion, I would go to an actual naturopathic doctor who I often work with and develop plans for their clients as well. If you want a second opinion, that would be my recommendation.
Okay. Well, again, can they contact you if they don't know of a naturopath and you recommend one?
Sure. I can point them in the right direction. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Everybody, have been listening to the incredible, as I stated at the top of the hour, Dr. Ruby Lathan. Definitely contact her. I hope that this show has been what you thought that it would be. I hope that the information on lupus is information that you can take. If you know of somebody that has lupus and you know that they did not hear this show, then you can share this link with them. This show is about to be archived. Within a half hour after this show, when we end the show, it will be archived and they can go back and listen to it again. So, Dr. Lathan, I bow to you, my sister. Again, this information is powerful. I pray that God continues to open doors for you to spread this message, because you are healing the planet one patient at a time. And again, this is so needed. And may you continue to be blessed as you go forth and do the good work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you having the platform to assist people on this journey. So I'm happy to be a part of that.
Thank you so much. Everybody, that was Dr. Ruby Lathan. Don't forget to check out the Veggie Chest. All you have to do is just go to YouTube and check it out and give her a call. And, again, go back and listen to this show again and again and again, because this information is not just for people that have lupus. This is for everybody. Everybody can benefit. I mean, I'm going to go back and listen to it because I know that I can benefit from the information that she shared. She's a regular guest on Juwanza for Life. So, again, Doctor, I appreciate you. And again, until the next time, peace and blessings to you.
Thank you. All right, have a great night.
Thank you so much. Everybody, that was Dr. Ruby Lathan, Queen Dr. Ruby Lathan. Again, she's a regular on Juwanza for Life. She comes on once a month. And again, she's in the archives. So if you like what you heard, go back and listen to the archives. She's there. We've done several shows with her. All you have to do is just scroll down the list and find a show that you find interesting. We've got regular guests with Brother Coy Dunstan, who comes on once a month. We've got guests with Orwahehi Meturan Comedy, talking about the 11 Laws of God. Shechem Shechem, Rahul Nefa Amin was my special guest recently, and he was talking about his latest book, How to Live a Stress-Free for Life. So you want to go definitely check that out again. And just scroll down the archives, and you'll see we've got the Swamis, Mike and Heidi, Michael Perry and Heidi Lindman. They are Swamis in the Kriya Yoga tradition, and they come on once a month, and they're in the archives as well. So scroll through the archives and have a ball. Until the next time, my name is Jawanza. You're listening to Jawanza for Life. Thank you for your time. Namaste.